Hello, I'm Gian and welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 2nd of October 2024. Yes, I know, I can't believe it is October already either, folks.
Hello. And welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Reading for you this week, we have myself, Gian, Christine, Angela, Liz, Ian, Helen, KD, Dan, Simon, and of course, not forgetting Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have the latest update with Helen, including the lifestyle newsletter for October. We have the quiz with yours truly, Gian. From Clear Air Act to curb pollution to a 2 million a year old medical solution, we have some fascinating news for the Black Country. We have all the reaction to this week's football action for West Brom and Wolves in our fan zone feature. I hope you still got those wellies and brollies at the ready, as we have the weather forecast for the week ahead. Wonder what it's going to be like. Up first though, it's some local news for the City of Wolverhampton Council and how they've made more than £4 million in 2 years from drivers making the same error in the city roads. That's approximately 164 motorists a day being hit by a peculiar fine. Can you guess what it might be? Let's head over to Angela, who can tell us more.
Thanks, Gian. That's correct. Wolverhampton Council has made more than £4 million in just over 2 years from drivers using bus lanes, which approximates to about 164 motorists a day being hit by fines. Councillor Kazir Azim, Cabinet Member for Transport, said the Council had made just shy of £4.2 million from bus lane enforcements from April 2022 to August 2024. Councillor Azim released the figures at a meeting of Wolverhampton Council in response to a question from Penn Councillor Paul Singh of the Opposition Tory Group. Drivers are typically fined £60 for entering bus lanes, but the charge is reduced by half if paid within 14 days. Assuming that the majority of drivers will have taken advantage of this offer, the £4.2 million figure suggests about 140,000 fines will have been issued over a 29-month period, averaging 164 fines a day. Councillor Singh said the number of fines being issued to motorists raised questions about the clarity of the signs and road markings. The sheer scale of fines collected suggests that many drivers are either unaware of bus lane restrictions or confused by the current signage, he said. This isn't about opposing bus lanes, but ensuring they are clearly marked and that the public understands where and when they apply. Clearer signage and communication could prevent many of these fines from being issued in the first place. Councillor Singh said the council had a responsibility to ensure the people of Wolverhampton were not being unfairly penalised. The council must be clear about where this money is going and whether it is being used effectively to improve transport infrastructure, he added. Councillor Azim said bus lanes played an important role in ensuring reliable journey times and helping the authority meet its statutory net zero targets. He said council officers would look into any reports of confusion. Using a bus rather than a car for short trips reduces emissions by 42%, he said. To deter the illegal use of bus lanes, we have clear signs at the start and throughout the length of all bus lanes. If there's any confusion, I will take it back to the officers.
Unfortunately, bus lanes are not widespread, So there are still those times where we wait ages for a bus and then three come along at once. Or is that none? Well, for passengers just outside the Black Country, that was the case, as a bus that was being driven out to replace another one found itself grounded as the driver tried to take a sharp bend in the road. The Diamond bus vehicle was snapped in its precarious position by a witness on Clee Hill in South Shropshire, who compared it to the famous scene in the film The Italian Job, with the driver having a Charlie Croker moment of, "Hang on a minute, lads, I've got a great idea." Alex Williams, the operations manager at the Kidderminster depot of Diamond Bus West Midlands, confirmed that no one was hurt in the incident. Alex said, "Whilst sending out a replacement vehicle, the driver turning the vehicle round on the car park suffered a grounding. There were no passengers on board and the driver is okay." Mr. Williams confirmed that there were no delays to the service and the two vehicles operating on the 292 route between Kidderminster and Ludlow are on time, and the vehicle is back at the company's depot. Hopefully, with all the doors intact.
Now, one of the major bus routes in the region is the Birmingham New Road that links Wolverhampton with Dudley and also extends across further into the West Midlands towards Birmingham too. And campaigners have been celebrating this week after work has been completed on two pedestrian and cycle crossing points on one of the busiest roads in the borough. The crossings on the A4123 Birmingham New Road in Dudley are the first phase of a multi-million pound investment on the corridor to improve safety to get people walking and cycling more often for local journeys. The crossings have been put in near the entrance to Dudley Canal and Caverns Trust and by the A4123 junction with Woodcroft Avenue. Funding has come from the government's Department for Transport Active Travel Fund. It has also supported the construction of the first phase of new cycle lanes installed on the A4123 from the junction with Tipton Road to the Castle Road junction. Councillor Damien Caulfield, Dudley Council's Cabinet Member for Highways and Environmental Services, said, "Residents have been campaigning for improved crossing facilities for some time, and I'm delighted we've been able to secure funding and introduce these important safety improvements." These new pedestrian and cycle crossings are the first phase in a host of travel and safety improvements planned for the whole A4123 corridor. It is all geared towards encouraging more sustainable modes of travel, including walking and cycling. Labour councillor Kieran Casey told how he and councillor Carl Denning, along with residents Gordon Laird and Terry Ledbury, have long campaigned for safety improvements on the busy stretch of road. Councillor Casey said, "It's fantastic that this work has now been completed and residents are able to start using this new crossing. I know how concerned residents have been about road safety, and whilst the average speed cameras that we also secured on this stretch have slowed traffic down, there was still no crossing point. I have no doubt this will make a big difference with safety when crossing the road." Resident Terry Ledbury praised councillors Casey and Denning for lobbying the council for safety measures on the road and said, "I think this just goes to show what we can achieve when we all work together to make our community an even better and safer place to live."
And whilst on the topic of the quality of the region's air, a children's health body wants tougher government action to curb the air pollution that affects many children's well-being. As well as calling the phasing out of domestic wood burning in urban areas, the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health, RCPCH, said work needs to be done to assist rural residents to transition away from wood as a primary heating source and support those in fuel poverty with fuel cost assistance. The RCPCH is asking that the government commit to World Health Organization air quality guidelines and introduce a Clean Air Act, Ella's Law. The law is named after Ella Kissy Deborah, who died in 2013, aged 9, as a result of asthma, contributed to by exposure to excessive air pollution in London. The youngster was the first person in England to have air pollution named by a coroner as a cause of death. RCPCH Vice President for Policy and a Paediatric Respiratory Consultant, Dr. Mike McKean, said, "This year, air pollution has officially overtaken high blood pressure and smoking as the leading contributor to global disease. Exposure to air pollution is now the second leading risk factor for death in children under five, both globally and in the UK. Air pollution is not the only issue faced by children. 2-year-old Awab Ishaq died in December 2020 from a respiratory condition caused by extensive mould in the one-bedroom flat where he lived. The RCPCH wished to see Awab's law implemented and expanded. The Act is intended to protect private renters from dangerous living conditions, such as those with damp and mould. The RCPCH said the government must also work to ensure half of urban journeys can be walked or cycled by 2030, alongside accessible public transport. As a consultant in respiratory paediatrics, I'm especially concerned about the impact of air pollution on a child's developing lungs. As paediatricians, we want to ensure that no child should suffer as Ella and Awab did," said Dr. McKean. RCPCH's key recommendations include protecting children in schools by monitoring air quality and empowering local authorities to act when pollution exceeds limits, enacting a Clean Air Act, Ella's law, to establish a legal right to clean air across all four nations of the UK and committing to the WHO air quality guidelines, implementing and expanding AWARB's law to protect private renters from hazardous living conditions such as damp and mould, investing in sustainable transport to ensure half of urban journeys can be walked or cycled by 2030 with accessible public transport for all, phasing out domestic wood burning in urban areas while supporting rural residents and those in fuel poverty to transition to cleaner heat sources.
Up next, we hear from Helen, who of course has for us the Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from Beacon, back with your weekly update, and what a week it's been. It's been really busy at Beacon, so let's get on with it. First up this week, some really exciting news, get ready. Beacon Santa 1 tickets are now on sale. Yeah, it's time to get ready to don your Santa suit and get festive. Our annual Beacon Santa 1 is officially open for registrations. Join us on Sunday, December the 8th at West Park in Wolverhampton for a fun-filled 5K dash that's perfect for the whole family. Whether you're a seasoned runner or just want to stroll in your Santa suit, this is the event to kick off your Christmas season in style. Adults get their very own Santa suit to run in, and kids get a jolly Santa hat with little ones under three running for free. Even your fairy friends can join in the fun with a dog ticket that includes a festive bandana and a certificate. It's the most wonderful race of the year, so you can snag your tickets at beaconvision.org, or to find out more, give us a call 01902 880 111. Now, you may know it's also been National Eye Health Week over the past week, so we have been doing lots at Beacon to mark this important occasion. One of the things we've been doing is to remind people to have an eye test at least every 2 years, or more often if your optometrist recommends. So with lots of content on our social media about what to expect at an eye health test, plus much more. But remember, if you've got questions, well, we've got answers. Beacon Sight Loss Advisors handle hundreds of queries every year. Whether you need advice on staying independent at home, technology, or living with a sight condition, we're here to help. So I think during National Eye Health Week, there has never been a better time to get in touch. Call us free on 01902 880 111 or email beaconinquiries@beaconvision.org. Last this week, do you know, and I really hope you do, that it's important to protect your skin from harmful UV rays? Well, do you also protect your eyes? One of the things we've been doing during National Eye Health Week is making sure that people shield their eyes from UV damage, whatever the weather. So if you're heading out, don't forget those sunglasses. That's it for this week. I'll be back again soon with another update. Bye-bye.
Thanks for that update, Helen. Next up, we have another block of local news. And up first, we hear from Christine.
Parkinson's UK is inviting people with Parkinson's, their relatives, carers, and anyone with a connection to the condition in Wolverhampton and the surrounding areas to be part of a series of new physical activity focus groups. The focus groups will be available across the UK, both in person and online, with participants being invited to share their thoughts and experiences about the importance of being active with the condition. An expression of interest form has been developed to give people from across the UK an opportunity to register for one of the new focus groups in October. Anyone interested in taking part should complete the form before Friday, 20th of September, and Parkinson's UK will contact chosen participants shortly after the closing date. The consultations with the community will help Parkinson's UK to develop a new library of resources and information about the best ways to be active with the condition. Parkinson's UK is looking for anyone with a connection to the condition to take part in the new focus groups, which will help the charity to deliver more content and resources about the benefits of physical activity and exercise for people living with the condition. We are asking the collective Parkinson's community to let us know what you would like to see from our exercise and physical activity resources in future. You can find out how to apply by completing our expression of interest form or by contacting Philip Lindley, Physical Activity Communications Officer, on 07801 183349 or email plindley@parkinsons.org.uk. And keeping with the theme of physical activity, City of Wolverhampton Council has been highlighted as one of the best in the country at supporting neighbourhoods to get children playing out. The authority has accepted an invitation from the Playing Out initiative to become a Play Streets beacon. Playing Out is a resident-led organisation allowing people to apply for temporary road closures with help from their local councils so that neighbours and children can come together as a community. Through working with the City Council, many Wolverhampton streets have successfully held Playing Out days, allowing children to play outside their homes in a safe and inclusive environment. Councillor Obeida Ahmed, City of Wolverhampton Council Cabinet Member for Digital and Community, said, "I have seen the positive impact that playing out can have on an area. It is not just brilliant for children, it can have a positive impact on the entire community." Many residents have noted how Play Streets have brought their streets together, strengthening relationships and fostering a greater sense of belonging. "We are delighted to accept the invitation to become a Play Streets beacon and look forward to sharing our expertise in this field with others." Councillor Jasbir Jasbal, City of Wolverhampton Council Cabinet Member for Adults and Wellbeing, said, "This is a fantastic way of supporting our physical activity strategy by inspiring young people to move more in fun events right on their doorstep. We have an ambition to increase physical activity participation rates across the city, and initiatives such as Playing Out Days will help us to realise that." The beacon recognition highlights City of Wolverhampton Council as an example of best practice, and it will now share its experience and knowledge of Playing Out events with other organisations and residents. As a Play Streets beacon, the council will advise people on how to organise a play street, provide on-the-ground support for residents, offer ideas on promoting play streets, guide other councils in developing play streets policies, advise on the development of play streets in disadvantaged communities, support the voluntary sector in delivering play streets, and raise awareness and understanding of the value of play streets for children and communities. For more information on how to organise a play street in Wolverhampton, visit Let's Play Out application. Residents organising an event receive a free promotional pack containing high-vis vests, guidance on organising a play street, a giant skipping rope and chalks. Applications for a road closure must be made at least 8 weeks before the date of the event. Some roads within Wolverhampton, such as main roads or roads which are on a bus route, may not be suitable. Now, a healthy lifestyle helps not only with our physical well-being, but our mental well-being too. With more information about a new initiative being introduced in Wolverhampton, let's head over to Liz.
A new healthy lifestyle service is being launched in Wolverhampton. The Lifestyle and Behaviour Change Service, Live Well Wolverhampton, is delivered by Central Health Solutions and offers people information, advice, guidance, self-help tools and lifestyle interventions over a period of 12 weeks to enable them to make and maintain positive lifestyle choices. Initially, the service is being trialled on a small scale, providing support to help people quit smoking, while an adult weight management scheme is also expected to be launched in the near future. It will strengthen the existing support available in Wolverhampton and will be accessible to all those who live or who are registered with a GP in the city. Obesity and smoking are both risk factors for a range of conditions, including cardiovascular disease and cancer, the biggest causes of premature mortality in Wolverhampton. Levels of obesity and smoking are higher in the city compared to the national and regional averages. Councillor Jasbir Jaspal, the City of Wolverhampton's Council's Cabinet Member for Adults and Wellbeing, said, "We have fundamental concerns about levels of smoking and obesity in Wolverhampton, with rates both higher than the national and regional average. And we know that both of these conditions have a huge impact on people's health and wellbeing. We want to do everything we can to help our residents to lead more healthy lifestyles, and this new service will offer support in a simple, local and accessible way. The Smoking Cessation Service will also support our ambitions for the country to become smoke-free by 2030 by helping people quit or by encouraging adult smokers to switch to a less harmful vape. More information, including how to access support to quit smoking or lose weight, will be provided once the service is launched citywide."
Now it's time to test your knowledge. Here come the quiz questions for this edition, and they're brought to us by Ian.
Hello, Ian here, and welcome to this week's Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, these are your questions. Here we go. Question 1. Who is referred to as the grandmother of Europe? Question 2. What country has the UK's only land border? Question 3. How high is Ben Nevis? Question 4. What is Big Ben? Question 5. Where in London is there a time capsule buried? Question 6. Where in London are there 33 viewing pods? Oh, and while we're on the subject of London, I'm going to throw in a couple of pop teasers for you, for all you popsters out there. So, these are a couple more questions. What band released a single called London Calling? And another quick one. What band released a single called I've Been Thinking About You? And that's it, folks. I will be with you with the answers next time. So, ta-ra for now. Bye.
Thanks for those, Ian. I'll get my mind working on them right now. Up next, however, let's have another Beacon update.
Welcome to October 2024. Would you like to receive this newsletter in a different format? Please contact the Beacon on 01 902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Spooky season has arrived. We are officially ready for October. Look inside to see all the amazing activities and services we offer at the Beacon Centre. And remember to book in any activities on our booking day. VIP sessions. Book in advance with Katie Johns, kjohns@beaconvision.org or Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org. Or call 01902 880 111. Our groups are for people who live independently with sight loss that meet once a month for a social gathering. They are all a friendly bunch that likes to try new activities, build friendships, and encourage each other to live life to the full. VIP Beacon. This group is at the Beacon Centre, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV46AZ. On October 30th, we have the incredible Pie Band coming to perform for us. Come along to see the group, have a cob and a pint while meeting new people at our cafe. This is from 6pm to 8pm, costing £3.50. Queen's Cross. This group is at the Queen's Cross Network, Wellington Road, DY1 1RB at the Cafe Plaza. Each meeting costs £3.50. You are able to purchase refreshments at the venue. On October 4th, we are having a Halloween craft session. Monthly sessions. To book on, contact Katie Johns, kjohns@beaconvision.org or Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880 111. Tuesday the 1st of October. Drop-in session in the Residence Lounge, 10am to 12pm. Come on and book activities for October. In the afternoon, 1pm till 4pm, Katie and Dan will be available to take bookings and payments over the phone for anyone who can't attend the booking. Thursday the 3rd of October. Book club in the Residence Lounge, 10:30 till 12pm. Price is £2.50. Friday, the 4th of October, walk in Sedgley. Leaving Beacon at 11:15, £2.50 to Beacon and £5.50 for transport. Monday, October 7th, tandem. £3.50 for Beacon and £7.70 for transport. Leaving Beacon at 10am. On Wednesday, the 9th and 23rd of October, swimming. Leaving Beacon at 10am. Activity costs £6.50. And £5.50 for transport. We'll need £1 for lockers. Tuesday, the 15th of October, chair-based exercise. This is in our gym and will cost £5, starts at 10:30. Thursday, the 17th of October, pop-up cinema, 10:30. We are going to be watching West Side Story. Price is £5. Friday, the 18th of October, long walk in West Park. Leaving Beacon at 10:30, £2.50 to Beacon and £5.50 for transport. Friday the 25th of October, 10 pin bowling, 2 games for £6.50, pay at activity, £2.50 for Beacon and £5.50 for transport. Minibus departs at Beacon for 10:30. Tuesday the 29th of October, circuits in the gym, £5, starts at 10:30.
Walls Foundation. To book on, contact Katie Johns by email. kjohns@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880 111. On Tuesday the 8th of October and the 22nd of October, we are going to the Walls Foundation in Aldersley. This is a multi-sport session that we're running twice a month until Christmas. It is free and will be leaving Beacon at 10:15 a.m. On Tuesday the 1st, from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m, the Walls Foundation will be coming to do a session in the day centre. And on Thursday the 17th and Thursday 31st, between 10:30 and 11:30 a.m, they will also be coming in to do a session in the day centre. Picture of a Wolverhampton Wanderers Football Club logo to the right.
The Sight of Sound, to book on, contact Katie Johns or Dan Clark. Wednesday the 2nd and 23rd of October in the Day Centre at 1 p.m. Sessions are free. Enjoy engaging drumming workshops to ignite creativity. No prior experience required. The workshops will be held in October, November and December of 2024 and in January, February and March of 2025. Led by professional drumming expert Mendy Singh. Workshops will consist of the following steps. Step 1. Participants will learn to create music using everyday objects such as tins, bowls, pots, mugs and cans. You are encouraged to bring small items from your home to the sessions, and a pair of chopsticks will be provided for you to create music with. Step 2. Each month the workshops will explore a different music style, including Indian drumming, Irish music, African drumming, Chinese music and English folk music, offering an engaging and informative experience for participants to create music together with the artists. Step 3. Participants will learn to play rhythms on everyday objects using chopsticks and work with the artists to create music. You will also record your rhythms over professional backing tracks created by the 5 artists. All participants will receive a digital copy of the music they create. Step 4. All participants will have the option to perform in a showcase at the end of the project in March 2025. First session is in the Day Centre at the Beacon Centre on Wednesday the 2nd of October, 1 o'clock till 2:30. With an Indian music workshop with Mendy Singh. Beacon Gym. Want to exercise with a fun and supportive atmosphere? Want to join classes and exercise independently? Are you someone who works out regularly or want to start? Contact Katie Johns by email kjohns@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880111 to book in. The gym is open Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. It costs £5 per session, or you can have a membership which is £22 a month. You must complete a health questionnaire and an induction before you start your exercise journey. Please let reception know when you are going to the gym. Sight loss. Contact inquiries at beaconvision.org or call 01902 880111 to book an appointment with our low vision team. In our low vision department, we have a lot of equipment that will help you with visual impairment. This includes magnifiers, bump-ons, cocoons, liquid level indicators, desktop magnifiers, and much, much more. In your appointment, we will speak to you about your vision and what you are struggling in with everyday life, making suggestions on what equipment can help, along with testing the equipment. We can also advise you on what you are entitled to as someone who is registered as visually impaired, along with help answer any questions you may have. Beacon Centre is here to help you in any way we can.
Meet the staff. Everyone please meet our new lifestyle staff member, Dan, which is me. So, I'm your new gym and lifestyle coordinator. I've previously worked in the fitness industry for many years. I also work providing services for the NHS. I'm really looking forward to getting to work at Beacon, and it seems like a real opportunity to make a difference. And I do look forward to meeting you all and getting to know you all in the coming months. I'm really excited to be at the Beacon. You can find me in the lifestyle office in the day centre. I'll be working hard, attending activities and VIP sessions, alongside putting on some incredible classes in the gym. To contact myself about activities or the gym, please just email me on dclark@beaconvision.org. The picture below is a picture of me.
Pumpkin parties. Are you ready to celebrate Halloween?
I know we are.
We are having a couple of Halloween parties to celebrate the occasion, and these are free of charge. Friday, the 25th of October, we are having a VIP party for our members in the Lifestyle Centre. 1 p.m. till 3 p.m. Get your dancing shoes on. Monday, the 28th of October, we are having a party in the Lifestyle Centre for children with vision impairment. We would like to get VI children together to have a fun time and be with children like themselves and hoping to make some friendships. This is 12 p.m. till 2 p.m.
Sedgley Lifestyle Centre. We are open Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at our base in Sedgley. We run several activities each day, including cookery, crafting, pottery, computer work, gym sessions, listening to music, quizzes and reminiscing. We keep well hydrated with tea, coffee and water, and we have the restaurant to attend to for a hot meal if we don't bring our sandwiches with us. We are lively, fun and love to have a laugh. Why not come and join us for a trial day? Contact Beacon's reception and ask for more information. You can call us on 01902 880111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org.
Now, how would you like to help combat loneliness? Well, if you have 30 minutes free during the week, then as a befriending volunteer, you could do just that. Beacon's Befriending Service is here to offer friendship, support and help to anyone who may be feeling isolated and or lonely. As a volunteer, you will be paired with someone based on common interests and all volunteering is flexible to suit your needs. So, it could be arranged for support to be provided over the phone. If you're interested, contact our team by calling 01902 880111 or emailing inquiries@beaconvision.org.
Accommodation at Beacon Court. Each apartment at Beacon Court has its own front door, individual card access, two bedrooms, store, wet/shower room, kitchen with appliances, gas central heating and double glazed windows. Beacon provides 24/7 care team on site to deal with any emergencies 365 days of the year. There's a pull cord in each apartment that can raise an emergency. You also get 30 minutes a week of a wellbeing time call to go through anything you would like help with, such as post or paying bills. If you want any further information on accommodation at Beacon Court, please contact Sophie Jones on 01902 882 170 or email sophie.jones@bromford.co.uk.
Up next, it's trivia time, brought to us by Flashback Roger and his Did You Know feature. It's all yours, Roger. Take it away.
Hello again, everyone. Well, I hope you're feeling okay this week and that you're sitting comfortably to hear this week's Little Gems. Get ready as always for the quiz questions based on these items. So here goes then. Now, did you know that? The UK's Queen Victoria is referred to as the grandmother of Europe, as she was the grandmother of many royals, which included the monarchs of Norway, Sweden, Spain, Denmark and Belgium, amongst other abolished houses such as the Greek royal family, the Romanian royal family and the Royal Russian family. And believe it or not, Great Britain and the UK are different. With Great Britain consisting of England, Wales and Scotland, the UK consists of the three countries along with Northern Ireland, where there is our only land border, and that's with the Republic of Ireland. Scotland and Wales contain the highest mountains. In fact, the highest 75 peaks in the UK are all in Scotland, and the highest being Ben Nevis, which stands at 1,345 metres. While around the coastline of England, Scotland and Wales, there are 6,000 islands, but only 136 of those are inhabited. And Big Ben isn't what you think it is. You see loads of people walking along the South Bank, snapping gorgeous Instagram photos with Big Ben. However, what most people don't realise is that Big Ben isn't what they think it is. Big Ben is actually the name of the bell. The clock tower is called Elizabeth Tower. So considering you can't really see the bell, people should really be saying that they're photographing the Elizabeth Tower. And there's a time capsule beneath Cleopatra's Needle. Cleopatra's Needle is an Egyptian obelisk located in the city of Westminster on the Victorian Embankment near the Golden Jubilee Bridges. Buried beneath the monument, there is a time capsule. Some of the items in the capsule include photos of women considered to be beautiful when it was buried, cigars, children's toys, a portrait of Queen Victoria, a set of British coins, and copies of the Bible in several languages. There are many fun facts about the London Eye, however, this is probably my favourite. There is a pod for each London borough, however, they numbered up to 33. Like in many other occasions, on planes, floors and ships, they skip numbering pod 13. Well, that's your lot for this week, and there's a few items in there that have taught me, I must say. How about you? Any road up? I'm off for a brew and a slice of lemon drizzle cake that I've had my eye on. Till next week then, I'll just say bye for now. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Next up, we have another block of local news.
How would you like to delve into local history? Well, Saturday the 26th of October 2024 is an opportunity to step back in time and explore the past at Dudley Archives Centre. The free event includes Ned Williams' talk entitled Farewell Eve Hill, a tribute to Dudley's vanishing satellite at 10:45. Craig Denston talking about the graves and memorials of St Edmund's Church at 12:15 p.m. And author and medical historian Kevin Goodman talking about body snatching and grave robbing in the West Midlands at 1:45 p.m. Tours of the archives will take place from 11:30 to 12 p.m. and 2 to 2:30 p.m. Numbers are limited, so please book in advance. The Friends of Dudley Archives and Local History Service will be on hand throughout the morning to offer research advice. Booking is advised. There will also be local history stalls, publications for sale, refreshments and raffle tickets available for purchase. I'm sure it will prove a voyage of discovery for everyone who comes along, said Jane Humphrey, Senior Archives Assistant. We can provide free access to historical collections, ancestry tools, newspaper archives and reference resources, and will be available to help with any queries. The three talks promise to be fascinating too. Operating under the Better brand, Dudley Archives Centre is run by not-for-profit charitable social enterprise GLL on behalf of Dudley Council. Councillor James Clinton, Cabinet Member responsible for libraries, said, "Our archives offer a wealth of research facilities for people interested in local history or wanting to research their family tree. This open day is ideal for people dipping their toe into local history research, as well as those who already have a knowledge of local history." The Local History Day runs from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday the 26th of October, and entry is free. For more information and booking, call the centre on 01384 812 770 or email dudley.archives@gll.org.
Residents of the Black Country are invited to a free family open day at Purton Library to celebrate the Staffordshire History Festival. The event on Saturday, October the 12th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. will include a range of fun activities, giving people a chance to learn more about the county's history, heritage and culture. As well as highlighting what Staffordshire libraries have to offer, people will get the chance to browse or talk to over 20 organisations and get hands-on with fun activities. There will even be an opportunity for people to bring along their antiques and have them valued. Victoria Wilson, Cabinet Member for Culture and Communities at Staffordshire County Council, said, "We're thrilled to be hosting another fair at the library, and this year it's with a history theme. Our heritage and culture play an important role in what makes our county a wonderful place to visit and live in, and this is a great way to promote that. We have over 20 exhibitors on the day, covering a whole range of fun subjects, from family history right back to the Stone Age, so something for everyone. Events like these are great and a brilliant example of how important libraries are for bringing communities together. Staff and volunteers have worked incredibly hard to pull together such a packed programme, so we hope people will come along on the day. All the activities are free to attend and include Explore the Stone Age with a reenactor and activities for the children. Meet the medieval wise woman and herbalist, gruesome medicines and natural remedies. Meet the team from English Heritage, Boscobel House Museum of Wolverhampton and South Staffordshire Museum of Cannock Chase, Apedale Heritage Centre. Antiques valuations from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Community Forest Services, Maths Masters in History. Get family history advice from Midland ancestors. Our Shakespeare will be performing. Meet the author, Margaret Heath. Burwood Grammar School, Headmasters Making History, 1547 to 1875, and much more to be confirmed. The event and wider Staffordshire History Festival comes at a time as the County Council develops its cultural strategy. The plan recognises and promotes the contribution that culture, heritage, sports and leisure all make towards Staffordshire being a great place to live and work. Further details on the day are available from Purton Library on 01902 506 050 or by emailing purton.library@staffordshire.gov.uk.
And here's an amazing possibility, whereby a 200-million-year-old solution, more highly concentrated in salt than the Dead Sea and found in a region just outside the Black Country, could actually prove to be of significant medical importance. As an historic brine bath is the site of a potential breakthrough in the prevention of antibiotic resistance in relation to MRSA and other hospital pathogens. The brine in the English market town of Droitwich Spa in Worcestershire is known for its high salt content. Researchers discovered unique microbial life residing in the town's brine and realised it presented an ideal environment for studying salt-adapted microbes with potential medical applications. The project, a collaboration between Dr. John Monnock at the University of Strathclyde and Dr. Michael Macy of the Open University, has since yielded significant findings, including DNA sequencing data revealing the microbial life in the brine and isolated organisms capable of inhibiting MRSA and other pathogens. Antibiotic resistance, a global health crisis on par with climate change, poses severe threats to medical treatments. As common infections become harder to treat due to resistant bacteria, the discovery of new antibiotics has become crucial. Dr. Monnock, a specialist in microbial genomics and antibiotic discovery, who has studied samples from polar ice cores to symbiotic microbes from the surface of leafcutter ants, said, "A common problem in discovering new and novel antibiotics is the rediscovery of the known molecules. Looking for interesting microbes in extreme environments is a key strategy in the antibiotic discovery process. When Michael brought the Droitwich Spa salt brines to my attention, I jumped to the chance to look for interesting microbes and their antibiotics." Dr. Macy, a specialist in extremophiles, organisms that thrive in extreme environments, more usually carries out international fieldwork in the likes of Iceland, Argentina, India and Canada. But he identified the Middle England town as a unique site of scientific interest, warranting close examination. Dr. Macy said, "The discovery of microbes capable of inhibiting MRSA growth is an exciting step forward. It highlights the untapped potential of Droitwich Spa's salt brines in the fight against antibiotic resistance." The research was part of the OU Open Societal Challenge Scheme, created to enable the widest collaboration of people to come together to address some of the society's greatest issues. It came about thanks to the support of Councillor Bob Brooks from Droitwich Spa Town Council, a long-time advocate for Droitwich's brine heritage, who was instrumental in reviving salt production in the town after a century-long hiatus. He gave access to the team in October last year to collect brine samples, with support from Churchfields, the Droitwich salt manufacturer. In March 2024, Dr. Mara Leite, project officer at the OU, isolated three strains of salt-adapted microbes from the brine. Remarkably, these strains were able to inhibit the growth of various hospital-associated pathogens, including MRSA. Laboratory tests show MRSA being killed off by these good microbes, highlighting their potential to produce new antibiotics. Dr. Leite said, "The results suggest that exploring the microbial diversity of extreme environments is indeed a promising approach to discovering antimicrobial compounds. The harsh conditions of these environments can drive the evolution of unique antibiotics that have yet to be identified." The research team is now focused on identifying the specific genes and chemicals responsible for this antibacterial activity. While much work remains, these early results suggest that Droitwich Spa's brine could play a key role in developing powerful new antibiotics to combat resistant infections. Up now we have to hear what the weather has in store for us.
Hi everyone, I hope you're all keeping safe and well. It's Christine here with your forecast for the week ahead. And after a rather bleak and breezy week of weather, it does look as though this wet weather has got rather comfortable in the Black Country, as we shall see further showers across the region over the course of next week too. However, with a moderate breeze coming up from the south on Friday, temperatures will remain a little on the mild side, with something close to average at 14 degrees. There are not too many spells of sunshine expected this week, so UV levels will reflect this, fluctuating between low and medium over the next 7 days. The sunrise and sunset times are 7:25 a.m. for the sunrise and 6:25 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday, 4th of October, it's looking like it shall remain mainly dry across the region, with sunny intervals expected throughout most of the day, so it's going to seem rather pleasant at 14 degrees. Moving on into the weekend, and we should see things returning to something much more unsettled on both Saturday the 5th and Sunday the 6th of October, with light rain and a moderate breeze forecast. With the breeze continuing to drift up from the south and southwest, temperatures will continue to feel relatively mild at 14 degrees. Into next week, and it looks as though these stubborn, slow-moving spells of rain are going to remain in the region for most of it. As from Monday the 7th right through to Thursday the 10th of October, it's forecast to remain wet and windy. There may be the odd moment when the sun manages to break through, but all in all, plenty of rain and a moderate breeze are expected. With the breeze changing up and coming in from the northwest, temperatures will be a little cooler, feeling more like 10 degrees. So there we have it. Not quite time for the winter warmers just yet, but we will definitely have to have our trusted wellies and brollies on standby. Do take care, have a wonderful week, and enjoy the weather. Now it's time to find out how our local football teams have been getting on.
It was a weekend of yet more disappointment at Molyneux, as Wolves fell to their fifth defeat in six Premier League games after a 2-1 defeat to Liverpool. Despite having another solid first half, the hosts found themselves behind just before the break when Ibrahima Konate headed home. Wolves dragged themselves to level in the second half through Ryan Aynouri before another costly error saw the home team give away a penalty within just 40 seconds of the restart, which Mohamed Salah dispatched. Wolves looked to react quickly as Mateus Cunha released Carlos Forbes, who took on Alexander Arnold and had a shot blocked. As the game crept towards added time, Wolves were notably flat and lacking any real attacking intent, as Liverpool sat back in their shape and defended comfortably, The crowd and O'Neill were urging the players on, but they offered very little going forward as the game ended on a dull note for Wolves with another defeat, leaving them rooted to the bottom, still searching for their first win of the season. Now let's head over to our fan zone feature to get some more reaction to a faltering start to the season for Wolves.
Hi, this is Jamie, the Wolves fan. This week it was Wolves 1, Liverpool 2, and yet another defeat that I felt leaves us a much better performance. And you know how I feel about us playing a back four, and we played a back four again, and we didn't get the results, but it was a much more positive performance. And I will be looking to see what happens when the so-called easier games come along, because there are no easy games in the Premier League. So I'll leave that thought with you. Bye.
It feels irrelevant to analyse a game of football after what Albion and their supporters went through on Saturday. Almost 3,000 baggies made the trip to Hillsborough and all should have returned home, but one did not. The heartbreaking events that took place in the Leppings Lane end during the first half of Saturday lunchtime's 3-2 defeat to Sheffield Wednesday overshadowed anything on the pitch and will no doubt have traumatised many baggies who witnessed what unfolded high up in the away end. It was confirmed initially online by a family member and then by the club a few hours after full time that Mark Townsend, a 57-year-old Birmingham Road End season ticket holder from the Black Country, was taken ill around a half an hour into the clash and had sadly passed away. All of our thoughts are with the family, friends and loved ones of the individual. They are also with those hundreds, if not thousands, in the away stand who witnessed the events unfold and tried to mobilise help. Reports from those close to the scene were very difficult to stomach. From our vantage point in the main stand, a good distance away, it was immediately clear something was wrong after about half an hour, as Albion fell 2-0 down to hosts Wednesday. Fans frantically gestured for attention to stewards and officials. Eventually, paramedics were seen climbing to the area of concern. Reports say that a defibrillator was used, and later in the evening, an off-duty paramedic Albion fan wrote on social media how she had tried her best to save the fellow supporter's life. The incident continued for some 10 or 15 minutes as action played out on the pitch. It felt uncomfortable that the football continued, as the away supporters chanted, "Stop the game," to match officials. The situation was clearly serious. As well of words of mourning, social media was awash with anger as to why it seemed to take such a time for the response to kick in. We were not in the away end for an exact time frame, but several hundred who witnessed the numbing events firsthand called for answers over the weekend. In terms of a halting, EFL rules state that the crowd medical team, the ground safety team, and match officials decide between themselves if a match needs to be paused. From what I could see, referee Ben Toner was in communication, holding his earpiece, and at various stages looked up to the away end. It appeared some players were aware too. The club and its fans will pull together to offer all the love and support, as well as privacy, as the family of those affected grieve. The words from Psalm 23 never feel more poignant than in moments like this. Albion received the warm words of fellow clubs and supporters. A representative or supporter of the club had earlier laid a "You'll Never Walk Alone 97 blue and white striped baggies shirt on the Hillsborough Memorial outside the stadium. In tough times, football fans pull together. It was a dark day for the club. No football fan should go to a match and not return home. May he rest in peace." On the pitch, Carlos Corberan's Albion lost their unbeaten record. They almost rescued a very unlikely point and got themselves out of jail from a very below par first half performance, where Wednesday built a deserved lead. Josh Meyer halved the deficit after the half hour with a seventh goal in seven games since the start of the season, a remarkable effort from the striker. The visitors toiled, but while they improved in the second half, regular chances were not forthcoming, and an equaliser looked unlikely. It arrived 6 minutes from time, through midfielder Alex Mowat, the team's metronome and linchpin, as his strike from 18 yards bounced into the floor and looped over James Beadle. It was a scrappy one and tough luck on the Owls. Albion didn't mind and were pleased to have seemingly maintained the unbeaten run despite an off-key display. But a frenzied finale was not finished. 2 minutes later, and the relief at claiming a point transferred to disappointment as Anthony Musaba, who starred for the Owls in their 3-0 win over Albion in April, emerged from the bench as the match winner. Albion, still in an attacking mindset from their equaliser, had not recovered or reset from pulling level. In the end, Wednesday deserved the 3 points. Results elsewhere went Albion's way, and they stayed top. But the trip to Hillsborough in September 2024 will not be remembered for any scoreline or performance. It will go down as a desperately sad day. Albion lost one of their own, who simply travelled to watch his beloved Baggies in action. I hope the family have been able to take some kind of comfort in the warm tributes from the club, fans, and the wider football community.
Now we have the quiz
answers
for this edition.
Hello, it's me again, Gian, here with your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready and feeling confident? How will you do? Let's see, eh? Question 1. Who is referred to as the grandmother of Europe? Answer, Queen Victoria. Did you know that? Question 2. What country has the UK's only land border? Answer, the Republic of Ireland. Question 3. How high is Ben Nevis? Answer, 1,345 metres. And question 4. What is Big Ben? The answer is the name of the famous bell in Elizabeth Tower. And question 5. Where in London is there a time capsule buried? Answer, beneath Cleopatra's Needle. Ooh, that's sharp. And question 6. Where in London is there 33 viewing pods? The answer, on the London Eye. Oh, and the answer to the pop teaser questions are coming up. And here are the questions. Question 1 was, what band released a single called London Calling? And the answer is The Clash. And question 2 was, what band released a song called I've Been Thinking About You? And the answer is London Beat. That's it, folks. And how did you do? Well, I hope you all did well. For now, it's Tatty Bye. Bye.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!